listening to the UK and the world's favorite wrestling podcast, RTM Wrestling, with your hosts, Andy and Emma.
And it started.
It started.
It has. The podcast has started.
How are you doing?
No, I'm not great. I'm a bit hungover today.
Why?
I had my corporate away day last night, yesterday. It was a bit messy. Yeah. But I'm all right.
That's all right.
I'm okay. I've had a domino. We've had a Domino's.
We have, yeah. We watched, well, I stayed up live. We got up at like 6 in the morning.
Yeah, because I got I got back from my corporate day, and I was in no fit state to be staying up. I just needed to go to bed in full makeup, obviously. you stayed up to watch Rampage, and then I woke up sort of parched at 6 o'clock in the morning to 2 text messages, and I'll just read them out from you. Say first one at 4:19, you'd sent this. Don't look at anything and wake me up now, with 3 exclamation marks. And then 20 minutes later, seriously, don't look at a thing and just wake me up. So I did. I felt bad because I knew you mustn't have had much sleep, hence the time you sent it me. But I was like, well, I've got to do what he says or else he'll be upset with me. If I was like, oh no, I didn't want to wake you, and I just went on Twitter.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that's the thing, though, because the whole point of stuff like that is you watch it as it was.
Mm.
Like, you can't replicate watching it live, but what you can do is not have it ruined for you. So if you'd have gone on Twitter and seen a GIF or seen anything, it just wouldn't have been the same. So I kind of was, like most of you know, because we were all kind of tweeting along together last night, which was ridiculous, which we'll get to in a second. Well, probably about 10 minutes. I kind of came to bed after watching it about 5 times and then put a film on, watched the majority of the film, and then dropped off. And then you kind of woke me up. So I must have been asleep for about 15 minutes.
Oh, God.
Before we got back up, watched it,
mm-hmm.
and then got back in bed again. And then woke up at 4:30 or something.
4:30 this afternoon. Well, I woke up again at 11:30 and I just stayed in bed because I felt rough as a bear's arse.
Yeah,
and I was like, I've got a headache. If I stand up, I might feel sick.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to ride this shit out. It's usually what I do with hangovers is I just ride it. It's like I'm not setting foot out of this bed until I feel 70% human. So I just wait for the loading bar to just get to 70%.
Yeah.
And for me, it's time's a healer, baby. Time and Domino's are a healer.
Other than that, though, how are you doing?
Yeah.
Pretty good?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Got a new toy.
Oh shit, yes. We upgraded, so we've got a arm for our microphone, so it's now kind of hanging in the air in front of us rather than on the table.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was worth it. It's got a shock absorber on it because we can't get rid of them completely because of where we do the podcast, which is our kitchen, living room. You know, we've not got carpets on the floor, so like there's always going to be a lot of sort of kind of background noise and shit. So I got this fucking sound dampener, supposedly.
Yeah.
I don't think it worked. I don't know, but all I did was I was fuming, so I tried it. I could still hear like shitloads of like bumps and all that shit.
And it's then bad though, because the bumps happen when we don't move.
Yeah, it's weird.
Those weird, like, because through speakers, it doesn't happen, but through headphones, you were saying like.
It's bad, yeah.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
So we have to address that. So if you've been suffering in silence with that banging, listening through headphones, then apologies, but hopefully this will sort it out. We kind of took everything that we need to take off the table. So hopefully there won't be quite as much banging now. Mm. But it looks cool. It looks like we give a shit. You know, do you know what I mean? It looks like we've got like this. I might tweet a picture of it later, but it's like it looks like a mechanical, like it's just an arm that goes up from the table,
yeah,
and then it holds like the mic in midair. But yeah, that's quite cool.
Yeah,
it's quite cool.
It is quite cool. But then I did Google, you know, like how to reduce the noise, and it said to turn the gain down. So I turned the gain down and it sounded a lot better. So I was like, shit, did I just need to do that instead of buying this bastard in arm? Anyway. Oh. You live and learn, don't you? How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I've had a reasonable week. I've not watched too much wrestling. Obviously watched Dynamite, which we did. I did have like full notes on Dynamite, but do you guys give a fuck at this point? I don't think you do. So I won't go through that. But Dynamite was a great show. Try to, like when we got up, I tried to watch the Glory for Honor Night 1 on Honor Club. And it's weirdly zoomed in. So like literally a quarter of the screen has been cut off. So like, you know, they throw up a graphic for like the opening match. And it looks like a handicap match with just one of the Briscoes against whoever it is they're against. And I just thought, fuck this. You know, the thing with like ROH at the moment, and we'll start the show in a second, but like ROH is really pissing me off at the moment because I feel like they're getting left behind. So during the pandemic, they're doing this show. It's great. I subscribe to Honor Club. I've watched like loads of old pay-per-views and stuff. It's been awesome. It's a great service. But then since they come back to doing pay-per-views, it feels like it's been fuck up after fuck up after fuck up. Like the live TV show that they give away for free each week is great, but there's no fans there. So now there's no fans there, it's nearly unwatchable.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, these guys like Bandito and stuff are having a fantastic match to an empty building. And it's just like, well, I don't want to see this now. I want to see fans. There's no reason why fans shouldn't be there. So the last one, The Best in the World, the stream didn't work. And it didn't go on Honor Club for like 2 days. And we know 2 days in wrestling means you're out of the loop.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and watched like certain matches, but you can't get involved with a product unless you're watching it from start to finish.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing with like Dynamite, if you just, and all like an AEW and even WWE, if you dip in, you don't know what's going on, so you can't make an informed decision. So my rants on WWE and how shit WWE is or whatever comes from other people telling me and from the little bits that I see in isolation, which is not a fair thing to do. So I will no longer be doing that, but it does mean no longer talking about WWE.
Oh, no.
But the, you know, the whole kind of ROH thing is they just seem to be fucking up left, right and centre. And it's just like, guys, this ain't the time to be doing this. You've got, these are key, easy things to do. Like, I had issues with New Japan's Resurgence last week about the production of that and the fact that they didn't put English commentary on New Japan World straight away. It was behind the Fight TV paywall. And yeah, it would have been £15 to buy it, but I subscribe to New Japan World. I shouldn't be having to pay for something again just to watch it. Because I didn't watch it live because, you know, I can't remember why. I think it was like, you know, work and all that kind of stuff. And it just throws your week out, as last night has thrown the week out, probably for us as well.
Mm.
But you've got to sort these production gaffes out because you can't put up a pay-per-view where a third of the screen's not there because it just looks weird. It looks like I'm watching something on fucking Daily Motion that's been like stolen.
That sucks.
You know, it's just shit. So yeah, that was really frustrating. But Glory for Honor Night 2's tonight. Hopefully they'll get that sorted and it'll change. But kind of other than that, yeah, I've not really watched a lot. I've been a little bit out of the loop with New Japan after Resurgence. Yeah. It's just been, I think it's just been building up. This whole week has just been building up to this Friday.
100%.
And it definitely felt like that on Wednesday night. But the crowd in Texas were just fucking amazing for that Dynamite show. But yeah, it's been a good week. It's been a good week.
Yeah.
Should we get on with it then?
Let's do it.
Let's give myself a little drink here.
Give me a sippy.
A little sippy cup. Hello everyone and welcome once again to RTM Wrestling episode 173. We are a wrestling podcast at RTM Wrestling on Twitter if you want to join in. My name's Andy.
And I'm Gemma.
And we do this every week or twice a week or however many times we need to. You can find us on all kinds of podcasting services like Spotify, SoundCloud, iTunes, wherever it is you get your podcast from. And like I said, RTM Wrestling on Twitter if you want to join in. If you tweet us, you're signing a waiver to be read out. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So I hope you're all well. Hope you're all safe. Hope you're all enjoying your week. And hopefully you had a pretty good night last night.
I know I did.
Yeah, you definitely did. You definitely did. Right, so silly questions. We've got, before we get to the obvious elephant in the room, silly question. Go for it.
Oh, yeah. So in the spirit of ice cream bars, which we'll get onto, well, everybody knows what I'm talking about, it got me to thinking how I fucking hate shock ices, which is what an ice cream bar is. I just think they're a shit snack.
Shit's going far. That's really...
just cheap and nasty. Just cheap and nasty. So then I thought, well,
what's the point?
What would what free frozen snack would I have quite liked coming out of Rampage last night?
Yeah, have you got one?
I think so.
Well, before yeah, we
I have that, actually. I 100% have.
Even though we only tweeted it like 20 minutes ago, we have had a response.
Cool.
So at Axel_JMO, don't know why I'm on Twitter, because I put all the effort into copy and pasting it into a fucking Google Doc. I've been introduced to this blue-coloured bubblegum flavoured ice cream, but I do like mints.
Mint's
good. I'm a fan of mint. But the bubblegum, like the blue one, I'm not
a fan of anything bubblegum flavoured, I'll be honest.
No.
Because I it's always associated with actual gum. I feel like I need to spit it out.
Or associated with childhood. And what do you do a lot when you're a child? Throw up.
Oh, so it's
like a blue sick.
Oh, fuck me.
When you've had, what is it, like a Popeyes?
Ice pop.
Yeah, so you the 10p from the local news agent. It's like, oh yeah, it's fucking boiling hot day. I'm going to go and get one of these 10p E-number ridden Mr. Freeze's. Yeah, oh yeah.
The blue one was the best. The blue one was raspberry flavour.
Was it?
Yeah, and it was fucking delicious.
Yeah. So I was a cola pop ice.
Cola was alright. I quite liked an orange one too. That was good.
Give me anything. Yeah. I remember having strawberry ones, but they always like stained your teeth and stained your mouth.
Oh, they were so
you just have like a big blue mouth.
I don't reckon they're the same recipe as they were in the
90s.
Of
course they're
not. Because the '90s everything was delicious. The '90s, if anyone wants to remember what it was like to taste the snacks and the E-numbers of the '90s, take yourself to America, because they haven't banned shit. They've not banned anything. They fully load all their shit with all those delicious E-numbers that we used to know and love. That's why when Americans come over here, they say our food's really bland, because to them it is, because everything's a taste sensation over there, isn't it?
Everything. Apart from the chocolate. Chocolate is... Gosh.
It's dog shit.
It's pure shit. It's just powdered sugar.
I feel like chocolate's so secondary to them over there, because it's all about peanut butter, and you wouldn't know that because you're allergic to peanuts. But all of their confectionery that's like peanut butter is delicious. Even the chocolate's quite nice with it.
Yeah.
But if you just to get a chocolate bar, it tastes like shit.
What treat did I keep getting myself when we were in the Lake District? I can't remember what it was.
A Twister lolly.
Twister. Now that's my jam at the moment. Twister lollies. Holy shit. There was, when we went on a massive long walk, and then coming back, where were we? Like Keswick?
Yeah.
You know, you go on this fucking big long walk, coming back towards the town, up to where the hotels are and things, and there was like a little ice cream shop, like an outside like hut type thing, which is just on the water. I had this Twister lolly. I remember just being sat in the sun, just eating this Twister lolly, just thinking, it just don't get any better than this.
No.
And that's my genuine thought. And then I bought another one about 10 minutes afterwards from somewhere else.
You did.
And ate that as well. Yeah, Twister lolly is me jam at the moment. I can't get enough, even though I've not had one since. But I'll remember that. I'll remember that Twister lolly for a long time.
It will stay with you.
10 years later, but I'm still talking about that Twister lolly. I was sat on the front in Keswick.
Oh yeah. Right, my ice cream, you got a thingy, didn't you? Yeah, I got a pot, but mine was like, what was it, like fucking cake flavour?
Sticky toffee.
Sticky toffee pudding ice cream. Jesus, you're Kinnell. That excited you. Sticky toffee pudding ice cream, that was delicious. But my snack of choice, if I was going to choose one, it'd be a Zap. A Zap lolly.
A Zap? Mm. Remind me of a Zap.
They were like marble multicoloured, and it was ice cream, all ice cream. And it was like, it was kind of like caramel flavoured, weirdly enough. Oh, they were so nice. I've
never even seen one. Are they still going?
I don't know. Let's fucking Google it, shall we? Let's Gemma types things. Zap.
Maybe next time we go shopping, we should get some Zaps and we should get some Twisters. But proper Twisters, not these shit half ones you can get. Like, I want a full size one.
Yeah, apparently I think they still do them.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so what does it say? Multicoloured ice lolly zapped with toffee flavour. Do you know what? You'll thank me if you have a Zap. You'll really like it.
Yeah?
Yeah, so nice. My dad always used to get a Zap from the ice cream man.
Did he?
Yeah, and I used to have to get a frigging... what were them screwballs, you know, at the bubble gum at the bottom.
Oh my God, that was about 10p.
Yeah, and my mum would have a feast.
So they got decent ice creams, is what you're saying. What you're saying is you were abused as a child.
I weren't allowed bubble gum either at the bottom. Because I was at an age where I weren't allowed to chew.
Why didn't they just buy you a pot of ice cream then?
It was nice, don't get me wrong. Fucking hell. It was lovely.
It was a pot of vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, with raspberry ripple through it.
Oh, is that what it was?
It had like raspberry sauce all the way through it.
Oh, okay.
Like in a screwball.
That was great, that. When you just go to like the ice cream man and he's like, oh, do you want any sauce? Like, yes, please.
Yeah, yeah.
And fucking add a flake. And I want you to
dip it in hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, get every fucking thing on there.
The thing is, the reason why I hardly ever opted for one of those types of ice creams is I fucking hate cones.
Yeah, I like cones when it's the wafer, not the styrofoam.
Like, yeah.
Like, you know, those really cheap ones where
they go soggy.
Yeah, and it starts dripping out the bottom and you're having to fuck it. Yeah, no.
Well, there we go. That's our
snack of choice. So we start this week, ladies and gentlemen, with wrestling parents. And you don't know what this is.
No, I don't.
I know what this is. And you, one side of it, you can call them thirsty. But that's a negative view, and we're going to start trying to not be so fucking negative on here. Now, Angels and Garcia. So I was on Twitter the other night and I kind of retweeted with me little eyes. If you ever see me putting my little eyes, it means you should look at something. So it's either like good moves or, you know, if tickets have sold out for something, I tend to retweet it with the little eyes. So Angels of the Dark Order, I think he's number 5, I think, but I'd have to look and I can't be asked. He does like a springboard moonsault to the outside. So I do an eyes retweet.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't tag anyone in. So nobody can see it, right?
Okay.
Gets retweeted within seconds. I'm like, holy shit. Oh, who's this guy? It's his dad.
Aww.
So his dad retweeted and liked it. So I was like, oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. And then he retweeted it. It got us a follower, actually, which is cool.
Wow.
And then a day later, Garcia's up and he's doing a promo for the Moxley thing on Friday. And I just put in the comments, this lad needs a contract. Gets a few likes and then gets a retweet.
From his dad?
From his mum.
Fuck off.
Jackie Garcia.
Oh.
And I went on both of them. And then after that, I was like, what is it with all these fucking mums and dads just like... You know, and then I looked at them, and then their whole Twitter is just like a shrine, which is totally nice.
That's so sweet.
I thought that was a lovely little story just to start it. But yeah, if you ever interact with wrestlers and their mum and dads like retweet you and stuff, I nearly messaged and said, "Oh, thanks for the retweet. You know, your son's great or whatever." But I thought, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. So I just let him go. But they'd literally retweet everything, any mention of their son. So I thought that was super sweet. So yeah, so if you ever come into contact with any wrestling parents, Be nice.
Send us your wrestling parent stories.
I'd be interested, actually, to see if anyone else has done that.
Anyone's met a wrestling parent?
Yeah, I'm sure they would have done. I'm sure fucking Zack Ryder's dad's done the rounds. I'm sure he does Comic-Cons. Cena's dad definitely does Comic-Cons.
Oh, God.
Little gimps. Anyway, so Dynamite this week. Not going to go through the show, but we had a couple of tweets on it afterwards. So at King Winter, I'm going to spell it out for you. So at K-I-N-G, you know that bit anyway. W-Y-N-T-E-T-R-E. So let me do that again. W-Y-N-T-R-E on Twitter. Go and follow him. He was in the building. Apparently, I'm assuming he's a he. Apologies if not. Was in the building for the Chicago show last night. I said, oh, you know, if you've got any insights or anything like that, let us know. So if we get that, we'll do that on the next show. But this is about Dynamite, so 5 out of 5, shameless rating. Was thoroughly entertained from beginning to end. The show got me excited for Rampage without the potential Cookie Monster debut. At Axel _ JMO said, loved it again. Shawn Spears pre-match promo. Kenny in a chick magnet shirt. Would love to name them all, but can we just say all the matches were great? Bring on Rampage. Please deliver. It will be huge. Well, Axel. So Dynamite averaged 975,000 viewers, so down 0.4% from the previous week. Demo was 0.35, pretty much even with last week. Strongest demo was 1849 Men, which drew a 0.5. That led all of cable television that night, which is pretty cool. Dynamite was just a great show. Again, so the whole thing of like Sting being in the ring for the first time in like God knows how many years, 2.0 attacking Moxley to start with, that was really cool. It's just another fun show, and I'm sure we're going to get into the ins and outs of AEW a little bit later, but that's what they consistently put on every week. It's a show that people who go to watch it have an extremely good time. It's coherently booked. It's set up for crowd pops. That's the whole fucking point of it. It's crowd reactions and face comebacks and all that kind of stuff. It's not this constant fucking barrage of, gotta get heat, pal. It's just fucking good. It's just a good wrestling show. So, yeah, great. So Khan tweeted a couple of days before Rampage that he's officially signed 2.0. So they're now All Elite.
Nice.
What a fucking story.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
Absolutely amazing. Just the fact that they were on NXT, they kind of did nothing, they were a joke. Then they kind of started doing something with them, and they just released them. And then, you know, you're talking a month or two later, they're in the ring with Sting. They're getting a contract. I think it's totally deserved. Garcia, I think Khan's kind of alluded to it on the media call after Rampage last night, that he is under contract, but they've not said he's All Elite yet. But I think that's coming in the next couple of days. They don't want to, you know, this poor guy's like, oh, he's All Elite as well, by the way. Yeah, who the fuck cares about him? You know, you don't want any of that. Right, so let's get to it, shall we? So in one of the most emotional moments in pro wrestling history, CM Punk returned to the wrestling ring, debuting at AEW Rampage in his home city of Chicago, Illinois. Punk has also said about his first match will be Darby Allin at the All Out pay-per-view on Sunday, September 5th. Emerging to cult a personality and visibly moved, Punk waited on the stage as a sold-out crowd cheered him in his first appearance since 2014's Royal Rumble. In a post-match media scrum, Punk and AEW president Tony Khan said they would not disclose the deal of his contract, which, why would you? But Khan said that it isn't a short-term thing or a part-time thing. It's full-time, and we're very excited. Punk said, just to know that I'm here. It's not short-term, and I'm here to help anybody who wants help. So we've got a lot of tweets on this.
Cool.
So I'm going to rifle through these. So up first, at ChrisRx31, the pop was incredible. Hadn't heard anything like that in a long time since Sergey Kanos' goal last week. Right. I'm just going to jump in there, Chris. It was fucking hilarious. But did you see he was giving fucking Anthony a go-go shit?
No.
So I retweeted a go-go thing. So a go-go did a video where he was like smoking a cigar. And he was like, you fucking British guys, if you're not staying up till 3 a.m. to watch AEW Rampage, biggest show in history, you're not a real wrestling fan, you're not a real wrestling fan. So Chris, like, I retweeted it, and Chris does this fucking genius like tweet underneath it. And he said, and he's, so, and so to preface it, Auntie Agogo is wearing a Norwich shirt.
Okay. Right?
Chris, which gets over this tweet, like people are liking, retweeting it, and he says, I think that's the longest Norwich have stayed up in years.
Oh, okay.
Which is the funniest fucking thing. I was just howling at it. And then I put, mate, you beat Arsenal 1 week and you fucking cocky as shit. Like, I love it. Keep it up. Keep
oh,
up.
Funny.
So keep it up, Chris. Keep that big dick energy up. It's fucking hilarious. But yeah, loads of people liked it and stuff. And then he did a tweet of like a yo-yo, somebody with a yo-yo, because they keep going up and down. Hilarious, hilarious.
That's funny.
So carry on with Chris. So seriously, anyone who saw Punk's return in the arena will never forget it. Interesting to see what they do with him. Couldn't help though when he said locker room. Couldn't help but laugh when he said locker room. Yeah.
Yeah, noted. Duly noted, Punk.
He goes on to say, incredible noise. In a world where stuff is predetermined, that was real. And that's the point, so we may come back to that later, Chris. At Axel underscore Jam again said, that was everything. We came up with all these fantasy ideas. No, it's easy. It's simple. Send him out. Give him a mic. Feel so justified sticking with it through the shit years. The crowd was insane. Bigger than an Austin Pop. Maybe. Maybe. We can debate that. It went on and on. To be fair, still didn't believe it until I saw him.
No.
And that is the point that I think we'll come on to in a second. So at BT Corey 1 on Twitter, it's put, I'm not a CM Punk fan, but I can't lie. Seeing him back in wrestling tonight was pretty surreal. I'd never in a million years thought that he would ever come back. The pop was huge. I'm happy for his fans, and I felt this way when Edge came back last year at the Royal Rumble. And we kind of went back and forth a little bit on this. Didn't say about them fucking up the face storyline, obviously, because, you know, the guy's into WWE. But I've had two shocks, like shock surprises, mm-hmm. I'd say, in the last 2 years. One was Sting's reveal at Winter Is Coming. Total surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. The other was Edge at the Royal Rumble. And I remember like going, oh my God, it's Edge! Like, I had no idea that Edge was coming out on that Royal Rumble. Every other surprise has been spoiled for me. Mm-hmm. And like this one, you know, this one wasn't a surprise. Everybody knew it was coming. But that kind of feeds into it a little bit as well, which I'll get to in a sec. I'm guessing it's Chipper Goulet. But yeah, I'll spell this out for you, Charles. So it's at @CHIPPAGOULET. Chipperga outlet, no? 157 at the end. But anyway, if you wanna follow Charles, have a look on our Twitter. I'm sure I've got him on there. He's put, haven't been this excited for wrestling in forever. Austin versus The Rock, WrestleMania 17 was the last time I can remember being this excited / giddy. Again, Charles, we will get to this in a second. At Let's Go Spoilers on Twitter, put, that was special. AEW's gone clear. Punk versus Darby, Christian versus Omega, Ruby Soho debut, SummerSlam won't even be able to compete with All Out. Yep, I think that's all we need to say with that, don't we? And at TW underscore Womble put, I cried, can't lie, felt like I was in a dream. And there you go, that's the tweets we've got from the old Twitter about the return of CM Punk. So obviously, you know, you're struggling a little bit. You've had a rough night. You got up, you saw it this morning at 6.
I did.
What did you think?
I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was, I know you're sick of hearing me say this now because I've said it to you about 25 times. But the reason why I asked the question on the last podcast about, do you bring him out first? Or do you bring him out, wait till the end? Was I kind of had a suspicion they'd bring him out at the very beginning of the show. And then you made a really good point about, like, oh, if you want the ratings, you know, it's better to save him or like you say, said when we were talking about this morning, to announce like a segment, you know, is a big announcement segment coming up at this part of the show. But I think like I would have been tempted to do what they did and put him on first, because I think the crowd would just, they would have just been chanting his name the whole way through. And it's probably a conscious decision. It probably might have been something that Punk actually wanted himself, where it's like, you know, like, let's make, I don't want to be them to be chanting my name while people are trying to have a match. It's just not a very good...
So they taped an Elevation before it as well.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. So there was a Britt Baker segment.
Right.
That I saw, because I wanted to kind of get a gauge of what was going on. And I saw a few pictures like Britt Baker being in the ring, and apparently they started chanting like Britago or something like that, which sounds like a venereal disease rather than a chant impetigo or some shit. But yeah, so they taped like a Dark and an Elevation or something like that beforehand, so it wasn't just the Hour of Dynamite.
Of
Rampage, sorry.
I just loved it. I mean, it was, I've never heard a pop. I've heard a pop that's as loud but doesn't go on as long as that did. It was like a consistent roar for, I don't even know how long it was, like, because, you know, we were watching that video before that someone had taken from the crowd.
Yeah.
We probably should have carried on watching that if it went on any longer.
Yeah, it was like 20 minutes.
Because we would have got the ad break, which we didn't
see. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that would have been quite cool to sort of see. It will have just been people cheering and walking about, I imagine, but... no, I loved it. So, obviously, I got up this morning, woke you up at 6, came in and I literally, we watched the CM Punk thing and I was like, I need to go back to bed. And you were like,
yeah,
go back to bed because nothing else really happens. No, nothing else.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the bit that I wanted you to see. So then I watched the full show when I finally got up at like frigging 4 o'clock this afternoon. I don't know. I don't have a ton to say about it other than it was just incredible.
Yeah. It was a history making moment. And I've seen a lot of negativity about it, and those people can go fuck themselves. Because the thing is, I have been very critical of CM Punk for a very long time.
Yeah.
I've been extremely outspoken against him for a lot of things, and that hasn't changed my mind. So, you know, the kind of tweets we were getting where people were crying, I saw loads of people crying on Twitter, you know, loads of people tweeted us saying that they were crying about it. I have a tendency with big crowd moments to well up.
Yeah.
So like a Rock return or, you know, stuff like that. It overwhelms me, so my eyes start streaming. I'm not like crying like the poor lad they zoomed in on last night, who's now forever known as the guy who's the crier.
Yeah, but they're trying to get that trending in another way though, weren't they, before?
Yeah, people who were trying to put themselves over so they can fuck off as well. Yeah. Oh, retweet this so he's not known as the crier, he's known as a real fan or something like that whilst following me. Yeah, shut the fuck up. Like, anybody who's doing that, you're just as fucking bad as well. I don't know. I've been a little bit jarred by Twitter like the last couple of days, because I'm so fucking sick of this like bullshit. So, you know, from the whole timeline of the day, because I was, you know, you were off on your away day. I was here. I was working. I was keeping up to date with Twitter and what was going on, gauging the, you know, the excitement level. From the fans, the excitement level was through the fucking roof. The counter fucking trending drove me insane. Like, when they were trying to do, like, oh, who do you think's the better heel, Randy Orton or Triple H? Like, who the fuck cares? And why is this trending and why is this on my feed? Get it off, right? So, like, there was all that shit going on. You know, people going on about, oh, he's not going to come out, or he is, or, you know, whatever. So it was all that sort of negativity. And then afterwards, there was tons of fucking arseholes who were just like, well, you know, he's not as over as Roman Reigns. Like, I don't care. I don't fucking care. I don't care if he's as over as Roman Reigns. I don't, because that show is a bag of shit. So I don't give a fuck. Like, if CM Punk sells, you know, a million t-shirts off the back of this, which I think we may have had a million tweets about buying a t-shirt. And Roman Reigns sells 2 million t-shirts. Good for you. But I don't give a shit, because I'm not 5 years old. Like, there's nothing there for me. But, you know, if it's there for you, then perfect. So the point of that is, watch what the fuck you want and shut up about it. I'm sick of fucking having these like arguments with people or seeing people having arguments with each other of, well, my show gets 2 million viewers. Well, my show sold out a stadium. Well, who fucking cares? I like ROH, and I like, even though ROH is doing me tits in at the moment, and I like New Japan Pro Wrestling as well. They don't get half as many fucking viewers as AEW, but you don't have AEW fans going, well, New Japan can only get, it's like, it's just shut the fuck up and leave me alone. So back to this, I've been very critical of CM Punk, and I think rightly so. He's done a lot of shit that I don't agree with. He's done a lot of shit that I think is kind of unforgivable. Like, it's, but in a wrestling context, That all doesn't matter.
Mm.
Because he can come in and he can be a professional wrestler and I can still enjoy his work. So the when he came out last night, obviously because I knew it was happening, but I didn't know it was happening straight away. Because I put a poll up. Sorry, I just banged the table. I put a poll up, like, I think 5 minutes before the show started. And I just if I can fucking find it, I bet I can't. But it was just like, where would you put it on the show, basically? Yeah. Something like that. And I got a fucking daft amount of responses within, like, minutes. Yeah, there we go. So I literally got all of these responses in within 4 minutes. So I got, like, 50 votes, which is, like, the most we've ever had for a poll.
Yeah, yeah.
I think in a long time. And it was like, you know, 47% was first, 2% was middle, 50% was last. And then when the show comes on, it was like, oh, we've got our big announcement now. And I just tweeted going, oh, shit, they're doing it now. And then when he came out, to me, my overwhelming reaction was, I'm so happy for all these people in this arena.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they've... And it's obvious that that's what the way they were going.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck me, that pop and the fact that it started off like pandemonium and then he walked out and it kind of got louder.
It was crazy.
I was like, how did it get louder? And then it just carried on and the chanting and the promo and all that kind of stuff. You know, and he kind of alluded to some of the shit he's done with it. If anything that I've done has let you down. But then he kind of cut that off because the crowd were going the wrong way on that. So, you know, that was fair enough to cut it off. So I kind of appreciate that. The media call, he was being a bit of a dick. So, it's like, again, I was like, yeah. But that none of that stuff matters.
No.
That's just my sort of personal opinion on it. But when he came out and the place went ballistic, I couldn't believe it. And I think Axel kind of said this before. It's like, I didn't quite believe that it was actually happening. And we've been talking about this for weeks now. Yeah. We've known for weeks now that Punk was coming out of this. We've known, but we haven't known. We've kind of been like, I mean, I don't know. You know, people have been tweeting us going, oh, well, if he doesn't come out, it's going to be really shit. And if it's just an announcement, you know, I think Chris said, you know, wouldn't it be funny? And I think he was being funny, but I couldn't engage on it, Chris. And I don't know if you wondered why I didn't reply, but I just couldn't go there. And he was like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if, like, just Tony Khan, you know, it's the birth of the Mr. Khan character. I was like, I can't even think about that, because if he did that, he'd have been dead now. Like, you would have had 14,500 people just descend on him. And, you know, he's a poor little dweeb. Well, he's not poor, but he's a little dweeb, so he's not got a chance of getting out of that building alive. Quick side note, AW, don't inflate your crowd figures. I don't need it. There was 14,500 people in there. It was a sellout. They said it was 15,500. That's a lie. Don't turn into WWE with your fucking crowd tweeting and shit. And not crowd tweeting in as in when they mute the crowd, because they won't do that. I don't need you to overinflate your ticket for sales, because you're going to start getting shit from me. So no, don't do it. But yeah, the whole thing was just awesome. It was great to see. You know, he's doing his promo and he's saying everything that you expect him to say about, like, oh, sorry, but I couldn't stay in that place. That would got me sick in the first place. That was funny. And then the whole thing with, like, ROH and his last ROH match was the last time he was involved with professional wrestling. And you kind of said this to me before. Is that we've been saying for months now that the other show, it's not a professional wrestling show.
Mm.
It's a sports entertainment show. There's nothing wrong with liking that, but it ain't pro wrestling.
Mm. No.
And I do think it's a very easy thing to say, but him saying, "Oh, now I'm back in professional wrestling," is, I think, you know, on the nose. And they always say this kind of stuff, you know, when people debut in Impact, they say this kind of shit. But I don't know, it just felt, it felt really real, and it felt like, it felt like a game changer, and it felt a little bit like, okay, so like Dynamites and stuff like that have been getting about 7,000 or 8,000 people, All Out's 9,000, and that's, that was sold out for months, but I'm sure now as we speak, the Dynamite and the Rampage have now probably sold out from Chicago, but there was about 1,000 tickets left on both of those shows. Still 8,000 people, which is amazing for what they were doing. But it felt like a bit of a cultural change, if you can allow me to say that. There's a big difference between putting a show on for 6,000 rabid, love your show. So let's take the Texas crowd, for example, for Dynamite. I think that was about 5,500. I think they dropped about 300 tickets on that one, which Tony Khan didn't buy, astoundingly. So it wasn't quite a sellout, but it was about 5,000 people, and it's still a great thing. You know, Raw and SmackDown ticket sales are about 7,000 to 8,000 people in these arenas. So they're not doing like gangbusters WWE. It's not like, you know, they're doing 14,000 and you know, like they said, like with the United Center, wrestling's not been in the United Center for ages. It's been the only that last night was the third sellout for wrestling it's ever had. So I think one was like a WCW show, and you know, I can't quite remember what they were, but I don't know if Money in the Bank was there. I'm assuming it was there, but if that was the case, that didn't sell out, which is astounding. Which is why when we were sort of thinking maybe we could go and watch All Out, but obviously because I had the time off, but the flights and all that kind of stuff fucked that up. That was probably why they do the Now Arena, because the United Center isn't somewhere you go and book, because it's probably notoriously hard to sell out.
Yeah.
So they tend to book places which don't. But WWE might book it, but I think they did a show in Chicago, but I don't know, I can't remember what the ticket sales were for it, but they didn't sell out, but they sold a lot. So I think now they've stepped it up. Like the last night was a real like, okay, This is no longer what it was a week ago. This is now big time. You've got the Arthur Ashe show, which I think they've pretty much sold out of that. That's like 18,000.
Sure.
You know, you've got a New Jersey show. Then you've got a potential European tour. This just, Punk signing instantly changes this game from, you know, getting 2,000 people in Daly's place and it being a great thing, to now you've got a lot of eyeballs on you all the time. Will it sort of last? Who the fuck knows? Do I think there'll be shitloads of viewing figures for it last night? I don't, because I think a lot of people will have been just like, oh, meh. But then when they see that YouTube clip, or they see actually the fallout of what's happened, I think Dynamite will have a lot of viewers. I'm predicting 1.5 for Dynamite. If that got over 1 million last night, fucking amazing. Because I'm expecting there to be a huge drop off. So like, you know, Punk comes out, maybe it's 1.1, 1.2, and then it drops down to like 700,000 again. That's how big the drop off I'm thinking. And it's not the fact that like Punk's a draw, because we'll talk about the drawing power of Punk in a second. It's the curiosity. So John Cena selling an extra 4,000 tickets a show for WWE is drawing power. It's not curiosity, because Cena is a WWE guy. So AW is going to have a lot of eyeballs over the next couple of weeks from curiosity, not from drawing power, because they happen to get this guy. So that'll drop off. But the new norm, it'll be really interesting to see what the new norm is. If Dynamite can hit 1.3 on a regular basis, then that's insane. And I think when all the rumours of all the other people that are turning up, when all of those are there, I think 1.3 is going to be the new norm. But we'll see. But yeah, it was absolutely amazing. It was just... It felt historic. It felt like something was happening. Like something was changing. And I kind of joked about it, and Alvarez kind of joked about it on his show as well. But like over the last couple of months when we've been watching AEW and been having such a great time, and you're not, you know, there's times when you're not really into things. Like, because me personally, I'm a massive fan of really great technical professional wrestling. So give me Omega and the Bucks against anybody, you know, against the Lucha Bros all day, every day. But like, you know, the matches that Chris Jericho has been having haven't been great. There's been a lot of fuck-ups, there's been a lot of things that have been going wrong. But because of the cohesive storytelling, they don't need to be great.
Mm.
They just need to be there and give you a story with it. So I've been having so much fun watching AEW over the last few months. And yeah, the bit that like we were kinda, I was joking with Axel and Alvarez was kinda joking about on his show, is it's a strong thing to say this, but you know, Alvarez kind of described it as, if you've been watching WWE for years, it's like abuse. You're constantly getting abused. You're getting, and I don't mean abuse as like serious thing, you know, I'm totally joking with this. I'm not even for a second saying that it's anywhere near the level of like actual abuse. But what you watch a WWE show, and it's always at the moment poor booking, really nonsensical ideas and storylines. Constant heel wins. You know, the whole thing of like, we were laughing on Wednesday about, you know, Sammy Guevara and Thunder Rosa being in like kind of their hometowns, Sammy's hometown, Thunder Rosa's adopted hometown, and them winning, and it was like, haha, that's funny because they're not supposed to win in the hometown. It's like, no, there's only one company in the fucking world that does that, because they love pissing their own fans off. They think it makes more money to annoy people than it does to make them happy. And that might be a thing. That might be true. Like, people might spend more money on like the shirts of the faces if they're constantly getting beat. But you're just constantly watching a show that is so designed to piss you off. It becomes like mental torture. You know, you're constantly annoyed. You're constantly thinking, what the fuck is this? You know, Alexa Bliss has got a fucking doll that she's throwing around. You're like, what the fuck is this? This used to be great. NXT, they're changing now. I know with the news on the last show, I kind of scrubbed it off. And I had a news story today that I've scrubbed off as well. But they're changing NXT to being big fucking dudes. And all that amazing shit from years ago is just going to get forgotten. So, like, TakeOver this weekend on Sunday night is the last time you'll ever see it in that guise. It's going to be fucking green, you know, huge guys botching matches. You're still going to get the Champas and the Garganos and stuff like that, but it's not going to be like that anymore. So you just constantly fucking abused. They did a WrestleMania weekend where one face won the whole weekend. It's like, what the fuck? You're just constantly getting barraged with this negative booking, and you know, and that's what breeds the negativity with the fans as well. But this is just totally fun. Like everything about it is fun. Like you can not like it. You can watch that show and not like it, and I understand why. There's certain things in it that I don't like, but you can't. Nobody can say that if you bought a ticket to go and see an AEW show, that you'd be coming out of that annoyed. And they do their own heel wins as well, and you know, because obviously everybody has to. But you ain't coming out of that show annoyed. It's a party. Everybody watching those, you know, and they sold out the United Center because of CM Punk. That's the only reason. The only reason. I think they could have done 8,000 in there without him, but they've got 8,000 in the other venue, you know, for three nights. You know, it's like a fourth Chicago show that they completely sold out because of CM Punk. But nobody's coming out of that show thinking, God, I didn't fucking get my money's worth there. Where, like, what were we kind of saying during WrestleMania? oh, we've had to watch the whole thing on a fucking screen.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's packed in like sardines, and that's supposed to be the expensive seats, and you can't fucking see anything.
Mm.
And then all the heels win, and it's just like, right, okay, cheers for that, Vince. But yeah, it's just a total party atmosphere. It makes me super excited to watch every show. Yeah, it's just great. I can put my own feelings about CM Punk to the side, which is good. Because obviously, you know, I don't know the guy. He's not, I've never spoke to him or anything like that. I've just go off like what people like have reported him doing. And the two things that I've got that I completely despise about him have come from people who are not like wrestling journalists and are not journalists.
Mm.
So it's like nobody's got an angle there. So I can put that aside and I can go, this was a fucking seminal moment. It's the biggest moment in AEW history and everybody's talking about it. I've not seen anybody say, oh, that was great last night, but I'm really looking forward to Eva Marie against Alexa Bliss at SummerSlam. So, yeah, that's my rant.
God, it's a long one, that.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's just...
I kind of ran away with
myself. I'm a bit hungover. I was kind of like starting to... I don't start talking soon, I'm going to end up completely...
I'll let you go. Have you got any reactions to what I said then?
I do agree with you. I agree with all of that. I think, I kind of forget or underestimate the impact of Punk for me, because when we first started watching wrestling in 2012 and we started going out, well, you know, you have been watching it, and I was like, oh shit, yeah, I'd quite like to watch this again. I've not watched it since the fucking Attitude Era. Brilliant. And it was because of CM Punk that I stayed interested in it, because I hadn't seen anybody like him. I'd seen the big fucking oiled up Triple H type wrestlers. That's all I knew. So then to see someone who's kind of don't fit that mould, who was a bit more interesting, who could actually talk without doing a shouting promo where they're pointing at the camera. You know, it was really refreshing to see that. It's like, oh shit, this is different. But it's different in the sense of it feels current. Like, he felt really current. Like, he was, he fit in with the era that it was, you know, those early sort of 2010s and stuff. It's like, God, they really got the finger on the pulse with this character. It's great. And then, you know, got to sort of enjoy that character for like 2 years. He left in 2014. And he was probably the only one I really liked. And funnily enough, his wife was the only female wrestler that I liked. So, and then when he left, and obviously we were really in the Fruity Pebbles sort of era at that point, you know, he was just Cena, and then he got replaced by Roman Reigns. And then you had some kind of quasi-interesting people coming through, to me anyway, like think people that I find quite interesting, like Dean Ambrose at the beginning. You know, I liked him a lot, thought he was great. Something different, I've not seen it. It's like, it just felt like it was refreshing and new and not the old trope. Like, they're actually being their own character without drawing on the old guard of wrestling, which is what I felt like everybody did. Because that's how they learn. If they're a fan of wrestling, or even if they've entered the industry off of the back of a failed sporting career or whatever, they get taught the same way, which, again, it's like, pour some baby oil on yourself, wet your hair, shout as loud as you can, even though you're holding a microphone, and point a lot. And it just doesn't... I've seen it. I saw it back in the day, and there was a reason why I stopped watching wrestling, because I felt like I'd seen everything it could offer me. There was just nothing, really. So, CM Punk, I've always wanted him to come back. And I kind of always wanted him to come back to WWE, because I thought he'll make that better. He might elevate it, and I might fall back in love with WWE again. And I didn't for a second think he would go to AEW. I really didn't. Even though he has all this like really negative history with WWE, I thought, oh, Vince will just be like, this guy's going to be money, it's going to be worth it. And then when, you know, the rumours started that he was signing with AEW, I was like, I just can't believe this. I can't believe they've got CM Punk. Not in a million years did I think that would happen. One, I didn't really think he'd ever come back to wrestling again. And two, I thought, well, because he was doing that show on, you know, with Renee, talking about WWE, I was like, the door's definitely starting to open here. He's going back. He still might at some point. But the fact that he was going to AEW, and when you've sort of, you know, I can't say I was a fan of AEW from the very beginning, because, you know, it took a little bit of time, but near enough. It still feels like a fresh new company, like brand new all the time. So I couldn't believe it when they said they might sign him, or they were going to sign him. And then when it was like pretty much confirmed, I was still like, I don't know, you know, what if he doesn't? What if it's not real? Or what if we're all just, you know, being given an inch and taking a mile and just making mass assumptions? So to see him come out last night, well, this morning, when I finally watched it, I was just in shock, I think. Like, really in shock. And the crowd, obviously, were amazing. Like, they were so good. And it felt like that sort of, like, 7 years had just not happened.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And it's like, 7 years. When someone says 2014 to me, it doesn't sound like 7 years ago. It sounds like a couple of years ago. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I don't think 7 years. That's a long-ass time. It is in wrestling, anyway. If someone's out with an injury for 8 months, it feels like a fucking lifetime. Or if they're out a year and you're like, shit. But 7 years, it's gone by in a flash. And he's just a great wrestling character that I've missed. I'm not saying necessarily he's fully required in this day and age like he was back in the day. I don't think he's quite as relevant or as game-changing, and it's not as groundbreaking a character. People have learnt from him and come up and been, like MJF, for example, would have, 7 years ago, he was 16, 17 years old or something. Yeah.
So a lot of these guys would have been.
So, and they'll have learnt and they'll have taken the best bits of Punk, and, you know, it's the Punk 2.0 is everywhere.
Yeah, Darby Allin.
Yeah, but it's like it's still great to see him. And it's back to that thing of the fans got dumped by him. So that's why they can't get over him.
Mm.
He was the one who dumped everyone. They didn't get the chance to say goodbye. And the fans ended up obsessing about him because they never got their closure and they needed it. And that's why they demanded it, and they never got any answers from him, and he couldn't give a straight answer about it. And, you know, was he coming back? No, maybe. Ooh, it sounds like he might. I'm not sure. I don't know. What do you think of that wording that he said in this interview? So to finally sort of see the fans, at the very least, get some closure by watching this run, however long it lasts, is really satisfying. And it weirdly feels like being transported back in time. In a good way.
I kind of said that, but not in those exact words. So the key point of this for me is cult of personality. So if CM Punk had come out with, and I know, you know, it would have been the same reaction and it would have had the same amount of media coverage and stuff like that, but the key to it for me was cult of personality.
Mm.
If it had come out to a different song, it would have been, okay, this is AEW Punk. Oh, and it's like Mick Foley said, you know, about his TNA run. It's like, oh, you know, people love me in WWE, and they're there and they're waiting for me to come back, you know, but they're not necessarily asked if I go off and do something in TNA.
Mm.
Like, they're not bothered. But because it was cult of personality, it was the hand wraps with the X's on the hands, it was him sitting down in the ring. You know, the only thing it was missing was, do I have everyone's attention now?
Mm.
Like, that was the only thing that it was missing, really. But it did feel like going back in time. It was like, this is the guy. Because I was massively into Punk, and was probably why I was more harsh on him.
Yeah.
Because he did let me down. And he did say in his sort of promo, like, any decisions I've made, you know, I hope I've not... Or he was kind of going that way, and then he changed tact. But like the UFC shit, and I was just like, and when I was like, oh my god, CM Punk's gonna fight in the UFC? What? And then he did the whole like video vignettes for him for UFC, and he just couldn't punch. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be bad. This is going to go really bad. And it did go really bad.
It was dreadful.
But he had the balls to get in there and do it. Like, you know, not
And
many
still
people
have a smile on his face afterwards. He didn't like go away and, you know, I'm sure he did go away and lick his wounds a little bit. But, you know, he still does like commentary for, you know, an MMA type thing. So it's not like he felt like, oh, I'm so embarrassed, I'm shunned. He's clearly very passionate about it.
Yeah.
And wanted to give it a try. He was just the guy that Monica...
Monica went
out with her friends, and he just got absolutely fucking battered.
I'm not going to stop.
What's his name in Friends?
Pete. But yeah, the whole thing from it, and it's hard to kind of get your head around right now, and I'm trying to think about it like objectively, is just how big of a moment is this? So like for us, you know, I mean, I tweeted last night, which got a little bit of traction, you know, I've never seen wrestling Twitter this excited about something.
Mm.
And it still is, like, it's still absolutely buzzing. Like, you know, just for us, the amount of tweets we've had sent to us in the last 24 hours is probably the same amount that we've had in the last month.
Yeah.
You know, it just to see wrestling Twitter really excited about something. And there is still always that little bit of fucking bullshit, and, you know, the whole Roman Reigns thing last night or the night before. It's always going to happen because it's WWE, regardless whether you think it's a funny heel thing or the most annoying thing you've ever seen. It's still WWE telling somebody to say something, which I think is a massive mistake. Like, it was a massive mistake, because, like, and I've seen Ariel Helwani's doing a sit down interview with Nick Khan.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Like, God, Ariel Helwani, I've got so much respect for, but fuck. Now that he's left ESPN and he's doing his own thing again, he'll fucking do anything that they tell him to. And that's the thing with WWE. I instantly go to, oh, Ariel Helwani's interviewing, right, he's going to be told what to say.
Yeah.
He can't ask decent questions. Because, like, the question he asked Roman Reigns wasn't anything to do with whether or not Punk was a draw. It was, you know, people getting upset about part-timers coming back and being a main event.
Yeah, I didn't understand the connection that got drawn by with CM Punk with that.
So Reigns, I mean, this has been blown up a little bit from Reigns' point of view as well. So Reigns basically said, is like, oh, I understand what people were like, because the whole thing with Punk was, in storyline and backstage, is The Rock's getting the main event and yet I'm the best guy.
Mm.
And that's what we all thought. All us fans of it at the time thought the same thing.
Yeah.
And Roman Reigns basically said, well, Punk wasn't as over as he thought he was. Listen, you don't know anything. You're getting told to say that. Punk outsold Cena for merch for a long time. You know, so whether or not he was a draw in live, in ratings or anything like that, but he had enough people, and arguably more than Roman Reigns will ever have. So he was told to say that. He was told to rag on Punk in some way because he was on that. But the problem, the real issue I have with it is, if you WWE, why? Just don't say anything about him.
I think WWE needs to sort of like stop.
Yeah, because it's not, they're not the same show. They're not a wrestling show, as we've said for months. And all you're doing there is people who are watching. So say, because I think I said this to Brian the other night when we were kind of chatting about it and about wrestling fans just in general. And the thing is like we see a lot of shit on Twitter and a lot of people arguing and all that kind of stuff. But we are like the 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the key demographics of wrestling, it ain't young people, it's old people, it's people in their 50s and 60s who watch it. They're the main people who watch it. They're not on Twitter. Like, the majority of them aren't on Twitter.
Mm.
They just sit down after a long day at work, sit down, put the TV on and watch a bit of wrestling because they enjoy wrestling. When they come to town, they buy tickets for them and their kids and their family and they just go and watch the wrestling. So they're not into it like we're into it. They're not fucking every rag sheet, you know, every company. It's like, oh, wrestling's on the TV, I'm going to watch it.
Mm.
Those people last night, so those AEW fans who literally had no... Because you wouldn't. Because if you're kind of half watching it, you're like, oh, they're doing a show in Chicago, they're chanting CM Punk, well, they're always chanting CM Punk, and you won't think anything of it. If you start that show and you literally don't have any idea,
yeah,
and plus CM Punk comes out, what the fuck kind of reaction was going on there?
I know.
Because all those people in the building are the ones in the know. That's why they've bought tickets. So they know, you know, they follow the rag sheets, they follow everything. You know, the mate says CM Punk's going to be on the show, let's fucking go, let's go. You know, there'll be a lot of people that didn't know that was happening last night. And it's just a crazy fucking moment. So, like, when we kind of look at everything that's going on, we are the 10% of wrestling fans. We're not the other 90%. Just watch it just because it's a fun thing to do. And I kind of forgot my original point now. I think I was saying something about Brian, about fans and stuff. But yeah, but that's the thing. Like, you know, not a lot of people follow it like we follow it.
Yeah.
So those types of moments are just awesome for them. And it's just fucking great. I've completely lost my train of thought there. I did have a point.
I think
you
were spinning a few plates there, and you've just you've dropped a plate. You've dropped your main plate.
I've dropped my main plate. It's smashed. Opa. But yeah, it's just fucking crazy. And it was interesting before that, like, you said about like Dean Ambrose, and now he's there. And he did say a funny thing in the media. He said, "Oh, I've never faced a John Moxley before." But there is other rumours of other people, and Daniel Bryan is apparently turning up at Arthur Ashe. Bray Wyatt is obviously a very highly sought after free agent. Adam Cole is near enough signed.
Well, isn't it something mad where, like, Adam Cole, his contract expires
after SummerSlam,
to the point where he could literally turn up on Dynamite that week and wrestle because his contract is out.
Yeah.
I mean, mental stuff.
Yeah, he signed a tiny agreement to keep him up to SummerSlam because he's a professional.
Yeah.
The thing that everybody is kind of saying that makes you think he's going AEW is he said his Twitch channel ain't going anywhere. Which, if he was going to the main roster, he'd be saying goodbye to his Twitch channel now. Because you're not going to... They ain't letting Adam Cole have a Twitch channel, not AJ Styles.
I do think there is another option with that, though.
Not to me, there isn't.
I think that there's another possibility why he said that.
There's another possibility why he said that. And the only possibility that it could be is that he's staying in NXT. And there's no way that he's going to stay in NXT.
Or he's re-signing with WWE, and he's carrying on his Twitch channel, but he can't take all the money from it, so he's agreed a deal in the sense of it carries on as is.
But they take the money.
Yeah. Which no one's really touched upon. He might have gone, it means more to me to continue it.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've come to an agreement with WWE. Don't worry, guys, it's not going anywhere, because it isn't, but you can't take money directly from it. Or it's just going to migrate over to be a WWE property of WWE. Well, and he's quite happy with
that. He's all over up, down, down, and as is Tyler Breeze still. So, you know, he's obviously knows how that works. But if he does that, more fool him. But if they give him a fucking $1 million a year, why not? Because apparently he's on $100,000 a year at the moment. Can you fucking believe that?
Unbelievable, I know.
But yeah, I saw loads of things kind of last night as well about people like thanking Tony Khan and you know, I've had one rant about Tony Khan on here, but he does deserve thanking. You know, he is the billion. He is, you know, if we won fucking the Euro Millions, but it was like £6 billion or whatever, you might have a go at this. You might do it. So he's basically like a crazy fan.
We were going to put our own show on in Manchester at one point. Do you remember when we
priced
were
it up,
pricing it up and contacting venues? What the fuck we were thinking there?
Well, yeah, because we were into it. But yeah, it was the wrestlers that put us off that. Weirdos. But anyway, but I'm sure they're dying for something like that now.
Oops, sorry, just whacked the table.
But yeah, the whole kind of... excitement around wrestling at the moment is coming because of AEW. It's not coming because New Japan's great, because New Japan unfortunately isn't great at the moment, because it can't be because of the pandemic, and they're still getting hit left, right and centre with positive cases and all this kind of stuff, which is shit. But, you know, everybody's working everywhere. Everything's super exciting. You're hearing people turning up on, like, crazy indie shows and, you know, Switchblade in Chicago. And he's doing it, like, the Warrior Wrestling thing, but he's, like, trolling everyone going, see you soon, Chicago, and all. You know, so he might turn up on Wednesday. Who the fuck knows? And that's the great thing, is the bit. And I think Chris Oryk's kind of said this not that long ago, where he put into Rumour 101, like, ruining the surprise. Is like, it's supposed to be exciting. It's you're supposed to not know what's going on.
Mm.
Like if you look, watch like Raw and SmackDown each week, and you know the formula, you can pretty much predict the matches each week.
Yeah,
and it's that. There's nothing fun about that. Like that's just a you know you're watching it for the talking segments. You know, and I thought it was a funny thing with Alvarez saying like, oh, you know, what have they announced for SmackDown? Nothing.
Mm.
You know, it's like there was like one talking segment, Reigns and Cena, and then an hour before the show they announced a few more stuff, which like, so you've got this potential CM Punk thing happening like literally 5 minutes after your show goes off air, and you don't announce anything. Like, it's just funny. But that's the thing, it's just a super exciting time. I just can't wait to get stuck into this whole thing. We're at least, you know, it feels like that early NXT kind of vibe,
yeah.
where everything's exciting, everything's fresh, but just on a much larger scale. And if they can put a fucking stadium show together in 3 months' time, like I said, you know, they're gonna have to do bigger venues. Then we might get into the kind of field of, okay, now they're playing to like 14,000 or they're playing to 10,000 instead of 6,000. You're going to have those moments of, oh, the crowd aren't reacting like we want them to.
Mm.
But as long as they don't try and change the product now, because the biggest thing for me is people getting lost in the shuffle, like a Shawn Spears, who's a fucking superstar, and the fans who, you know, when you attract that level, the fans become the fans that aren't necessarily wrestling fans.
Mm.
So that's when they hijack shows. But, you know, no AEW show's been hijacked with random chance because they put on a good show and you're engaged in what you're seeing.
Yeah.
The only reason why fans hijack the WWE shows is when it's like Roman Reigns against Goldberg and they're starting chanting for fucking CM Punk. That's, you know, and everyone can... Ronda Rousey can get annoyed at that until she's blue in the face, but, you know, they've been conditioned... Like, I think Lance Storm on the Alvarez thing said, it's like naughty children. You know, there's no naughty children, there's bad parenting.
Yeah.
And the parents, who are the WWE, have not treated these children right and not conditioned them right. Hence why they're throwing a beach ball around. Because they know your show sucks, but it's the only option they've got. You know, so...
It's true, very true.
I just can't wait. Like, that UK tour now is going to be massive.
We're absolutely desperate for them to announce that.
We ain't getting a ticket for that.
We will. We'll get a ticket.
We only just got a ticket for TakeOver London.
Yeah, but we weren't on it.
No.
We weren't on it for either show, NXT UK show. Well, not NXT UK, but NXT show that came over here. We just weren't on the ball like,
we're gonna
when
have
they
to
went
put
on
money
sale.
Into that. Like, as soon as they go on sale, we're going to have to get what we can get.
You're on O2, aren't you? I wonder if you get priority.
Yeah, prior up for...
Because I'm not on O2 anymore.
I think it'll be the O2 Arena.
Yeah, right.
I don't think they can get away with doing Wembley, because Wembley's 9,000.
Yeah, I think...
They can't get away with it. It's going to have to be the O2 Arena.
Yeah.
Because you're not... By that point, you've got fucking CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Wyatt might have turned up.
Oh, my God. Like, I love it if Bray Wyatt turned up.
You know, they've got to start booking some bigger places now, and yeah, so it's just going to be a crazy few months. Mm-hmm. This, it's going to be absolutely nuts. And like leading up, we've still got like a week or two, like before the pay per view. I think it's like 2 weeks from today,
yeah, I think
or something.
So. Is it on a Sunday night?
I think so. Yeah, oh, it's a shame, but we can watch it the day after.
True.
But it would start at one, so it's not. It's not quite as bad as Rampage, watching Rampage live.
True.
But yeah, I'm just really interested to see what the viewing figures are. You know, fucking Pro Wrestling Tees is back up and running on Monday. Yeah, but
it's so funny.
Shop AEW work, though, so you can do that. But yeah, just super exciting time.
Yeah, very, very exciting.
I've not really got much else to go through, if I'm honest. So New Japan, Minoru Suzuki's over in the States. He's going to be on 4 shows for Game Changer Wrestling, which is insane. Brody King, who's off Resurgence. It was COVID, but he's apparently all right because he's fully vaccinated. The KOPW 2021 match for night one of Wrestle Grand Slam at MetLife. That's on Saturday the 4th of September.
Shit.
Chase Owens against Toriano. It's going to be a no DQ I quit match. That was one that was voted for by the fans. And then I've got one last thing before we get to the poll. Mr. Everywhere, Ric Flair, is everywhere at the moment. NWA 73rd anniversary pay-per-view. Ric Flair will be making an appearance in St. Louis, Missouri. That's August 29th, so only 8 days away. Ric Flair, don't ride trains.
Don't ride trains.
How funny was that?
Funny, yeah, very.
Oh my God, it does look like him. Ric Flair don't ride trains.
Someone had done, you know, on Twitter when they do 4 pictures and it looks like a little mini grid.
Like zooming in? Like.
Well, just how, like, if you put 4 pictures up, it just looks like a little square.
Yep.
And one of them was obviously that picture of the train, and the other was cuts from Ruby Riott's promo video where she's like walking to a train.
Oh, that's funny. Like, oh my God, that's some funny shit.
It's so awful.
That's really bad. Yeah, because that kind of that's something we can talk about, the promo thing, because Ruby Soho's doing hers, Buddy Murphy's done his.
Seems to be the thing. I feel like I could be totally wrong, but I feel like Moxley started that.
Yeah, yeah.
Started that sort of trend of like doing yourself like a fun little vignette.
A little promo video. His was paid for by New Japan though.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of them are paid for. Because, like, they are quite high production values. Like, they're not probably paying for it out of their own pocket.
I mean,
they're not filmed on a frigging iPhone, are they? They're properly filmed.
Yeah, I think Buddy needed to hire some actors,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he definitely
Holy
did.
Shit.
They sucked, didn't they?
They sucked. God almighty. There's a second sort of part to that, which I've not watched, where they're like, I saw, like, a little bit on Twitter where it was, like, the guy with the glasses who can't act to save his life. He's just going, ha ha ha, right, uncuff him. I was wow, okay. All right, mate, what relation are you? Are you the cousin?
Oh, no, yeah.
Dead funny.
It wasn't so much a case of the guy didn't get the memo or the notes on his part, in the fact that there just wasn't any.
Yeah,
so he's just playing it however he deems fit. Like every line, he's like a different person.
Yeah, and I bet they turned up thinking it was going to be an iPhone and all these cameras there, and they were like, holy shit. This is serious. But yeah, what an exciting fucking time.
Very.
So poll then. So I tweeted out,
Does
CM Punk return at Rampage change your viewing habits? So I only did this an hour ago and it's had 30 votes on it, which is pretty good. We got a response. Tweet at @carbon_Robert. It's, but I'm waiting to see where Bray ends up and if WWE kill Alexa. Fair dues, if you're into that side of it, fair dues. But yeah, so about 30 votes, so 79.2% is the winning one at the moment. So the three options were already watched AEW, nope, who cares, and yes, I'm watching AEW now because of Punk's return. So 4.2%, nope, no one cares. So 4.2%, you know, didn't give a shit about Punk's return. 16.7% said, yes, I'm watching AEW now. 79.2%, I already watch AEW. So that might be a little bit biased because we have gone more AEW New Japan focused in the last sort of 4 or 5 months. So maybe that, because we lose followers every time I tweet about AEW. And also game followers every time I tweet about AEW as well. So I think our sort of listeners are morphing more towards that. Obviously it's a very anti-WWE show, which, you know, I don't really want it to be anymore. I can't be arsed talking about them anymore, but you can't help it, can you?
I've just retweeted AJ.
AJ? Styles?
AJ Lee.
Oh, right.
Or AJ Mendes.
Oh, what's she done?
She's just shared like a few headlines and with the caption, go on, break the internet, boo.
That's cute. You say she was watching it from home?
I think so. I'm sure someone posted a pic of her with Larry, the dog.
Let me see.
Larry was his serious underbite. It's such a cute dog. Such a cute dog.
Well, yeah, she's not done anything on her own Twitter. I think if she weren't there in the building, I think she'll regret that. I think she should have probably been there. But anyway, who cares? Who cares? So that was a poll. And I think that's your show, Sailor Jermaine, unless you've got a Room 101.
No, I don't have a Room 101. Have you? Keep it positive.
No, other than fucking production gaffes, like ROH sort your shit out.
Yeah.
New Japan sort your shit out. You're in the big leagues now, boys, with me watching you, so... Let's get your shit together. I've not got anything for Room 101
no.
this week.
I think I'm going to look on the Kindle store and maybe buy AJ's book. You know, I've been wanting to get it for ages.
What was that? Which one was that?
Crazy Is My Superpower was her first one. And it was about like a autobiography type job of things.
Okay.
It was bits of wrestling and stuff. But I've been wanting to get it for ages. And I'm sure when I tried to, I couldn't. At the time, it was ages ago though.
Right.
Maybe it'd only come out in the US at that point.
Right. Okay.
So I'm assuming I can get it on Kindle. So
yeah, I would have thought so.
It's only reminded me like that I really wanted to read it. You know, you just kind of forget about it. Like shit, that was like fucking 6 years ago or 5 years ago or something.
Well, she might just get a big boost in like book
Maybe.
Sales.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's gonna have one more customer in me, I think, if I can find it.
What is it, like the high tide raises all ships or something like that? That's what they say, don't they?
I like that.
But yeah, what a fucking week to be alive as a wrestling fan.
I know. And I can only apologise doing this podcast hungover.
Oh, don't worry.
I assure you, I am buzzing.
Don't worry about that.
I am very, very, very excited.
Yeah.
And I loved that show. I loved watching it. I just thought it was insane. But it was so good that I felt like stunned into
I think the crowd nothing. Were. Because the crowd kind of felt a little bit like, and they'd shouted themselves fucking out, I think.
Yeah.
But they still reacted like massively. Like, there was a cool super Canadian Destroyer spot with Private Party and Jurassic Express. I love their finisher.
Oh, yeah.
Of the flipping power bomb, like the sort of spins in the air and Jungle Boy catches him. And, you know, that's really cool. I just want a Dynamite now. I want a 2-hour show. Like, because I tweeted last night, I was like, is it a bit early to say that this show should probably be 2 hours?
It felt a bit mad when we were getting like the 15, 20 minute mark and you're thinking, God, they've only got like 40 minutes or something to do the rest of the show. They've got like 3 matches to do.
Yeah, well, I was looking at the time last night and like Moxley was doing that promo with Garcia and it was like 10 to 4 or something. I was like, God, they've got like fucking 10 minutes and another advert break. Because there was like 4 advert breaks during the show.
Oh my God.
Because they're trying to get the same amount of advert breaks into... Because there's like a key part of Dynamite where there's like loads of adverts and then there's hardly any for the rest of it. So I think it's like the sort of middle point, they put loads of adverts in and then they try and keep it away from the beginning and end.
Mm.
So I think we just get that middle point. So that hour is that middle point of the just, you know, 5 adverts. And
shit.
Just get through it, but... Yeah, it was overall a cool show. And like I think Garcia does deserve a contract. I do think Punk overran, so that's why Cargill only got like a couple of minutes and Moxley only got a couple of minutes. So I think Moxley and Cargill were probably the victims of Jurassic Express and Private Party saying just going out and just doing their same thing.
Yeah.
And then Khan probably went, oh shit, we've got like a quarter of an hour left of this show. Cargill just go out there and just fucking kill her. And then we need to go backstage. It did feel really quick.
Yeah,
and like,
it was very rushed on it.
Yeah. But going forward, they won't be like that. It'll be clear, concise segments.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think for that Punk thing, you need to give him the mic. You need to give him all the time he wants. If he'd have stayed out there for an hour fucking telling stories.
I don't think anyone would have been upset, would they?
No, I think Moxley might have been. I got a feeling that Moxley weren't happy at all.
I didn't get that. I
know it's the character, but I don't know. I'm getting a feeling of this is why I left vibe.
No. I don't know. I didn't get that impression. But, I mean, maybe.
Well, we're just being a dick. No, but we'll see. So thanks very much for listening, everyone. We are at RTA Wrestling on Twitter. Go and follow us. Obviously, you're listening to us, so you don't need to be told where to find this podcast because you've already got it. And, you know, get involved. If you've got any theories, you've got any ice creams that you want to give us, we'll put that onto the next show as well. And then hopefully we'll be back in the week to try and maybe do a bit of a Dynamite show. Mm. Something like that. Because by then, hopefully, I'll have watched ROH if they can get the shit together. I'm not watching it like on like a fucking YouTube video, though. And yeah, there's loads of stuff. Loads of stuff coming up. There's the MetLife Dome for New Japan. There's All Out. You know, if you want to get your thoughts in on that, predictions, all that kind of shit, you've signed a disclaimer. If you tweet me, I will read it out. So, until next time.
Cheerio, motherfuckers.
I'm
giving everybody my best Orange Cassidy thumbs up in the spirit of my hangover.
Do you think I'm going to get in bed now?
I feel like I'm going to just watch something. I'm still recording. I feel like I'm going to watch something. I feel like some new shite's landed on Amazon Prime.
Just watch some
Vanderpump
pure
Rules
shit.
I'm on at the moment.
What the fuck's that?
Do you know what? Sorry, just before we go off, because I have to share this. Vanderpump Rules is essentially a reality show that's based in a restaurant, and it's the staff who work in a restaurant. I know, it's thrilling stuff. But when I was really hungover this morning, I was like, oh, I'll just stick that on. And they're pouring alcohol in every scene. Or necking
really?
It back.
Oh my
God. And I could smell it. You know, when it's I could smell that Prosecco. I was like, oh, I'm going to fucking vomit. I can't do this. This is disgusting. Stop drinking.
You need to watch something like this. If you were to say, though, what show doesn't have booze and...
Oh, it's really...
Wrestling.
Yeah, CM Punk, Straight Edge.
Yeah.
Oh, right, I'm going.
Christ. All the best, guys. Stay safe and have a good week.